I'll just start by saying this is Rosemary Hall recording on behalf of the Dialect and Heritage Project. It's Wednesday, the 30th of November 2022. And could I ask you please to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Poppy Love Oldham, and I was the engagement officer at the Dales Countryside Museum in Hawes.
And how did you come to be involved in the Dialect and Heritage Project?
So I'm a creative practitioner. I've worked kind of in the arts and cultural and heritage sector since graduating from my BA. I did a degree at Manchester Metropolitan Uni, and I did a course about interactive art. So how do you engage people creatively with your work? So I guess I was really attracted to the role because it takes a subject that can be quite inaccessible to some, and you're able to use your own kind of creativity to make that speak to the masses, speak to everyone. So yeah, I didn't really know much about dialect at all before starting the project, and I was brought up in the Yorkshire Dales too, so I think I had that kind of connection, and it's my heritage, it's my word, they're my words that I would be learning about. So I was really kind of attracted to that, and I think because I was brought up in a military family who, my grandparents aren't actually from the Yorkshire Dales, that's just where they chose to kind of be based to bring us up, so I think they've moved around a lot, so they've got a lot of words. So I think just all those things combined, really. I love speaking to people, and like I visited the kind of Dales Countryside Museum as a child, so I kind of had that really kind of special connection, and I was just looking for a new challenge.
Excuse me. Can you tell me a bit, Poppy, about speaking to people for the project, about maybe your oral histories?
Yeah. So we did. I say we because it wasn't just me; it was my volunteers too. But we did 20 oral histories and 5 reminiscence sessions, but actually 4 of those ended up being recorded. So in total, 24 recordings from people all over the Yorkshire Dales, male, female, different ages. I think the youngest is 11 and the oldest is 95. And where do you start talking about the recordings, really? It's so difficult to summarise it, even in my own oral history, really. Just the stories and how open people were. I think recordings are about two and a half hours. The way that I kind of operated to find these people was that I kind of prioritised descendants. So I worked a lot with community groups, and it's particularly at the start of the project, trying to develop partnerships with either WI groups or with people who knew their local community really well, and they were able to point me in the right direction. Again, the museum was very rooted in its community, so they were kind of able to signpost me to the people, particularly in like Newcombe and Keld, to start off with. And that was one of my first events. So the men in Keld, the Keld reminiscence session, they actually were carefully selected by myself and my volunteer, David Jackson, because we ran an event, the first event after COVID, in the village hall, and there was a huge turnout of about 50 people, and they were so delighted to finally come together in a room, and we had archive collections out, and I really didn't know how the event went, actually, because I was at the front and kind of giving them the talk, and I had all these dialect words on the presentation, and I just remember, I think it was Norman Guy, he just said, "I don't really understand why you're showing us these words, because they're still words that we say every day. Like, what's new about that? So actually it was the photographs. So there's a photograph of Thomas Ra and William Ra and Cooper Peacock that are showed on the slide. And I didn't realise that they were actually the descendants of people in the room. And I told them about the kind of response books too. And I don't, even though it's Sheila Anderson there, and she was the great-granddaughter, granddaughter of Cooper Peacock, and we were able to show the recording of, I think Cooper Peacock talks about what it's like to actually skin a pig, and it's absolutely brutal. So I wasn't sure whether, being a vegetarian, that was something that I wanted to put myself listening to, let alone this room of 50 people. But yeah, so those men came together in Keld Resource Centre. The Keld Resource Centre is, I really hope that it's still there. Like, it was an old schoolhouse and it's now a museum. But Helen Guy, who is also someone who we did an oral history with, we as in me and Rosie, the research assistant. and yeah, we did an oral history with Helen, and she had some amazing stories about her relative recorded in the LAVC, Mary E. Scott, the butter making and cheese making ladies. And it was so amazing to actually hear even the Keld men talk about their memories of Mary E. Scott. They mentioned about how she'd come in, she'd waddle in, and then she'd lift up her skirt and put her bum next to the fire to warm it up. And then there's Norman Guy talking about just how amazing her cheese was. So it was really, really special to get that on an oral history. And then we did an oral history with Helen's dad, Bob Guy. And Bob Guy, when I was listening to his recording, he just reflects a lot on how things have changed. But I spoke to him at the event that we did in Newcastle, and it's so difficult to actually capture those stories and translate them onto a recording, really. I feel like a lot of those moments are lost, but how can you capture everything? You can't capture life. And I felt quite strongly, actually, about the oral histories. Some people would finish the oral history and feel like they hadn't given enough. They were only really able to give that little snapshot of themselves at that point in time, and maybe how they felt, and the questions that you ask, it's so hard to summarize someone's life in 2.5 hours. But yeah, there's so many amazing people in that we've been able to speak to. I'm not sure if I can speak. I'm not sure where to start about speaking about the other ones, really. But they're the ones that have really stuck out for me too.
What does it mean to you, Poppy, to have been part of this project and to have added to the LAVC?
Yeah, so much. I guess I signed up for the project not really knowing what to expect. And being able to kind of contribute to history is really special. It's something you don't really get to do within your work. You can see how you're making history. Yeah, it's been really amazing working at the museum as well, particularly with Fiona Rocha, because she works very creatively and in a very engaging and accessible way with audiences. So I feel like I've learnt a lot through the way that she approaches museum. She's very kind of innovative and forward thinking in a way, really. It's really interesting to even think about. You compare it to North Yorkshire Archive, for example, who have just had to have a consultant in this year about how to engage with audiences. And really, Fiona Rush has been doing that for over 25 years within her role there. So I really feel like it was this kind of careful balance of meeting the project needs and also the museum needs, and thinking about how can I make sure that these these stories are going to be fed into the museums, how are they going to be relevant for the museums as well? So straight away when I started working at the museum, we did a knitting exhibition, and as a creative, as someone who's really enthusiastic about textiles and fibre, it was so fascinating just to be immersed in the knitting sheets, thinking about how there's so many creative people in the Dales. I think that I always thought you had to go to cities to find the kind of creatives, but actually they're in your local community and they're fundraising for the local community and they're doing really innovative activism in a way, to think about the future, what they want to see, how they want to continue these kinds of traditions of having the Christmas lights on, how they... how they want to meet up in the local pub and have a social event and learn from each other and like support their mental health. But thinking about like the future of the impact that it's had, like I'm training at the moment to become an art psychotherapist, and just the impact of voices. I never really thought about how important people's voices are in evidencing things, really. Like, especially when you train to become an art psychotherapy, it's all based around case studies. And when these case studies are in people's voices, I think there's a real impact around that. Yeah, I'm really thinking about working in a hospice and the kind of legacy pieces that you can create through oral history. It's so special, isn't it? And even throughout the project, I was able to very much marry up the... It spilled out into my life, really. It spilled out into my other freelance work because it was a part-time role. But I was in York renal unit, and engaging with people at their bedside whilst they were receiving life-saving treatment of dialysis. But I was able then to speak about dialect with them and actually and do the survey with them. And I had an iPad because in that kind of really clinical environment, there's quite limited materials that you can take in quite safely, especially after COVID. But I had the iPad showing them the LAVC and showing them, because they were knitters, and showing them the kind of knitting sheets. So it was almost like really difficult to not let that spill out because you lived and breathed the project. It wasn't just this project that you were delivering on and engaging people with. You almost had to become this kind of, I don't know, it's so difficult to even define, really. You just, even everyone that you speak to who has taken part in the project, like you just take on a part of that, a little chunk of the piece. Like it's like we're all a little jigsaw and we're trying to find the other pieces of the jigsaw, like the missing pieces, whether that's descendants, but it doesn't really work unless you operate as a whole. So I feel like we were kind of constantly not only growing the jigsaw, but finding those pieces.
Thank you, Poppy. That's so meaningful. Yeah. Final question. If you could save one thing from a fire in the archive, what do you think it would be?
Oh. So difficult to. I'm never one for favourites, actually. I just can't. I'm like that with any sort of movie. Or there's not one significant piece that's been the whole work all together at the same time. Because they all complement each other, all the collections complement each other. Even with the photos, there's not one photo, actually. I was very lucky in our patch to have such rich collections. Of visual, especially because I think very visually.
I'll save the whole archive.
Yes, the whole archive.
Thank you, Poppy. It's been such a privilege.
Yes, thank you.